Hey, what's up, my friends? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. Excellent. How are you today?
Great.
Great, Jim. I think, you know, I don't think I've ever seen you on the Friday calls.
A long time ago, I got on there. As a matter of fact, I don't think there was anybody else there that when I got by the time I got on, and you and I had a pretty good talk.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. That's awesome. You're probably busy on Fridays, right?
Comes and goes.
But yeah.
We had a good talk about New California. You remember that ring a bell?
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. How is that coming along?
Awesome. Matter of fact, that's what I was going to share with you and Doc is we're having our 10th Constitutional Convention. It's going to be in Orange County.
Oh, my goodness. That's right where we live. Where are you located?
Up in Marysville, which is north of Sacramento.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good, 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 good.
Going to try to talk you guys into coming.
That's awesome. When does the event occur?
Second, third, fourth, I think, of June.
Second, third, fourth of June. Okay, that's coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be our last one, and we're actually going to have a very special guest show up to this one.
Really?
Yeah, super, super, super special.
Anybody you're able to disclose or not? Not yet.
Not sure. I'm going to have to double check, but it's pretty cool. It's something we've been wanting for a long time, and things are happening here in California. So, I'll find out today, and then I'll definitely let you guys know because I definitely want you guys to be there.
That's excellent. That's great. That's great. Yeah, send us an email and let us know the dates and times and the location and all that stuff.
I will do that.
That's excellent. Yeah, I'm not sure where Dr. Bergman is. He's always scheduled for the third Sunday of every month, and he's MIA right now. I don't know where he is. I sent him an email a couple days ago.
Yeah, I got an email from him warning us about this.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure what happened. Sometimes he's on his boat, you know, and there's been a couple times where he's had bad internet, so maybe that's what's going on. I don't know, but
gotcha.
Yeah. So, Bob, what's going on with I got your email, dude. Thank you for all that info. That was really cool. And it's such an awesome idea.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you. So it seems to be working. Like I said, just trying to give him, you know, a good calcium supplement. And I ordered that Perseum.
Perseum, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to. So I want to say pearl calcium, which I think is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see when that comes in. I'm not sure how long the delivery is for that.
That's good because that's a living source of calcium. It's derived from the pearl, you know, and I've heard nothing but amazing things. And I hear that actually helps to rebuild the tooth enamel. So that could be something really good for your son. If you're able to brush his teeth with that too, that's the most ideal thing to do.
Yeah, I might even start using that myself. The other thing I was going to just kind of mention, according to that book, and I know you're not a big fan of fish oils, and I understand why, but it kind of stresses the importance of like cod liver oil or like a, I can't remember the name of the other fish. It's like a type of shark. Like I want to say a stench or a stretch fish or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and I think it's specifically for the vitamin D quantities in it is what it, but you know, so I'm just wondering your take on that short term.
You know, if you were going to do, I would avoid the fish oils at all costs. I would never take those, but if you were going to do the cod liver oil, I would avoid, there's a brand called Rosita, Rosita. That's a raw cod liver oil versus the fermented kind. And fermented kind is the kind that I've been hearing a lot. Like, I don't know if you know about a lot of people who promoted fish oils and specifically fermented cod liver oil, health people passing away from catastrophic heart attacks and things. In fact, the author of that book, Ramiel Nagel, passed away from just that. He's no longer alive because I think he was a big advocate of fish oils and fermented cod liver oils. And he passed away, and I think it was heart failure that he passed away from. And he was only, I think, in his mid to late 40s. So,
well, I think the guy that you interviewed on vitamin D a couple of weeks ago was mentioning it's not yellow, it's yellow disease, yellow something.
Oh, yellow fat disease.
Yellow fat disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talking about how it's predominant, like you can find it in a lot of species that eat fish as well. So, you know, but I'm wondering, you know, on the short term, is that, you know, like a month or two versus somebody that does it every day for 2-3 years.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I would get the Rosita cod liver oil. Stay away from the fermented cod liver oils for your son. Because the upside to the cod liver oil is the massive amounts of retinol that's in that. I think there's like 3,600 IUs of retinol per serving per teaspoon. And retinol is what's required to load copper into ceruloplasmin. And so without the adequate amount of retinol, the copper becomes unbound, and it gets bound to things like albumin and some other proteins that are not supposed to be bound to. And so when it's fully loaded into ceruloplasmin, that's what it's actually supposed to be doing. And the reason why that is because that ceruloplasmin protein is massively important for helping to deal with oxidation. And as with tooth decay or anything else, any disease that we're dealing with corresponds to oxidation inside the body, the loss of electrons. Right. So that's why that is so powerful, that Rosita cod liver oil. It does come with polyunsaturated fats, which is, in my opinion, not good. But like you said, if you're going to do it for a couple months or something, I think it would be very beneficial for your son.
Right. And, you know, I honestly don't know if I'll take it. If it's a very potent substance, you know, I'm not sure how well a 4-year-old is going to do with that, you know, versus if he was like 7 or 8 and you could kind of coax him into,
if
you take this, you know, we'll
exactly
park or something. So,
well, I know they have little capsules, and your son's probably too young to swallow capsules, but it's, and they also have the liquid that you can pour on a spoon. And I'm not sure the flavor of that, but I know the fermented cod liver oil, it tastes terrible. But I don't know about the Rosita. The Rosita seems to be a lot safer because of the massive amounts of retinol in that. It's the ratio of the retinol to the polyunsaturated fatty acid content of that makes it so special. So I would buy a bottle of the Rosita and try it, you know.
I might go that route. I'm going to try the Pearlseum first and kind of go from there. You mentioned the vitamin K. What's the mechanism behind that? So if I understand right, A, D, E, and K are all your fat soluble vitamins, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A, E, D, and K. Right.
A, E, D, and K. And then B and C are all your water soluble.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So what's the K role? Because your body makes vitamin K, doesn't it?
It does, but not nearly to the extent that we need. There's a really good book on vitamin K from, we did an interview with this lady, eight years ago. And it was an amazing interview. And all of Weston A. Price's work has tied to a vitamin K in it. And it's called, I think Weston Price called it Activator X. Yep. And it helps support like dentin, bone and nerve health and brain health. And so it's incredible for that reason alone. And also for displacing calcium in the body and putting calcium where it belongs, in the bones and instead of in the soft tissues and your arteries and things like that. So vitamin K is really important for that. So making sure you're directing the calcium where it belongs is what vitamin K essentially does.
Yeah, I thought that's what vitamin D was supposed to do.
Vitamin D has, it affects your parathyroid gland, and it regulates calcium as well, but it actually calcifies you in a negative way. And so the vitamin K2, like that's why you always see vitamin D coupled with vitamin K2. Okay. because the vitamin D is calcifying you, and the vitamin K2 is healing what the vitamin D is doing. And so that's why you always see those two supplements tied together. It's kind of funny how they do that.
They work together, actually, Justin. And the vitamin K you're specifically talking about is K2, otherwise known as menaquinone 4 and menaquinone 7.
Right, right. Yeah, they work together synergistically, but I recommend taking the K by itself so that you don't have to utilize the resources of vitamin K to deal with what the vitamin D is doing. The vitamin K that I recommend is the one from MitoLife. That one is the best, in my opinion.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm getting a lot of good information. So I'm just trying to implement it and kind of seeing what sticks and what doesn't.
Yeah, good, good. I hope you're able to get that meeting with Dr. Nunley as well.
Oh, yeah, me too. So hopefully I'll find out something tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know what? I'm not sure if Dr. Bergman's gonna be here. I'm not sure what's going on. So I could hang out for a couple of minutes. I'm not really set up with a babysitter, so I have to watch the kids in a couple of minutes, but I can help anyone who needs help until Dr. Bergman gets here, or if anyone has any questions, please let me know. I'm glad, Bob, that you're on the right path with this stuff, though, with your son. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you a lot.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, Justin, I'd like to ask you a quick one there.
Sure.
Your blue blockers that you guys talk about all the time, where's the best ones to get? And do you guys by chance sell stuff like that, or do you have products?
We don't. No, I just link to different companies that I like to work with, and the ones that I use. So these ones are from a company called Raw Optics, and I'll put a link in the chat room. You can get them from different companies. There's two main companies that I like. Raw Optics, that's RAOPTICS. And the other one is Blue Blocks, and it's BLUBLOX. Both of them have really good technology in their lenses, but also they're practical and they're stylish. You know, they don't look like the old lenses, you know what I mean? Like, because I have some old ones here, like these ones. Have you guys ever seen these? These are the UVX.
Yeah.
You know, they're not too, you don't want to wear those around to the grocery store. So yeah, but they're quite expensive. You know, they're like $150 for a pair of glasses, but if you keep, you know, as long as you make sure that nothing happens to them, you're good, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. And one last thing, cause then I might got to get to the church here. Have you heard of low core body temperature?
Low core body temperature?
Yeah, what it's caused from, and that's what I was going to talk with Doc about today.
Yeah, mostly that's going to be tied to your thyroid, but there's also, you know, the pro-metabolic community will talk about how that's tied to your thyroid. But Morley Robbins mentions that there's a specific enzyme that is the regulator of your body temperature. And I don't remember the enzyme itself, but it's magnesium dependent. I know that. And it's also tied to copper as well, this enzyme, and it's in the brain somewhere, and I forget exactly where it is and what it's called, but it's so Morley makes the mention that it's not your thyroid at all that regulates your body temperature, which I find to be fascinating. But I can dig up the research on that, and I know it's a copper dependent enzyme and a magnesium dependent enzyme as well, so making sure that your copper and your magnesium are high, it is really important. And also, if you're going to be consuming copper, you need to make sure you're getting retinol in your diet as well, because the copper needs somewhere to go. And so if it doesn't have anywhere to go, if vitamin A or retinol is not present, it won't be fully loaded into that ceruloplasmin protein.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, all right. So I would regulate your minerals first, and that's increasing magnesium, decreasing your iron levels, and increasing copper and increasing retinol. And by doing that, you should see a big difference.
Okay, great.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, sir. Sorry you got to run, but.
No worries. No worries. I'm not sure where Dr. B is. We'll just hang out for a couple minutes. And I see Ulrike. Justin just left. Okay, so here we go. Oh, Tim, to everyone, Justin just left TJ. Dr. B let me and wife know that we both have leaky gut. Oh, I thought this was a message from him about today. Okay, cool.
Justin?
Yes.
I wanted to find out. I've had now since 3 weeks, and I was just in the hospital because they wanted to make sure it's not a deep vein thrombosis or a heart thing. Severe edema, pitting edema in my feet, ankles, and lower legs. And it just started all of a sudden, and I have absolutely no clue what it could be causing it, because they did sonar of the lower legs. There's no deep vein thrombosis. The heart is fine and everything, but I just have no clue what it could be. Like, it literally is, it's so bad.
That's on you, you said? Sorry, you said you were dealing with this, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I know you live in a mold sort of environment, right? Down in South Africa, right?
Well, it was mold, and we had it like remediated. We had with like, I don't know what they use, ozone to fumigate the whole house. And he tested it again then afterwards, and the levels were within the norms.
Okay. So
I don't know if it could still, I mean, but it started now after, I mean, we had lived in this for a while. So I don't know if it has anything to do with that. I'm not sure.
Are you, and I think you're following somewhat the root cause protocol. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And have you had your potassium levels checked and your sodium levels checked?
My sodium levels are low.
Okay.
But my potassium is fine.
Okay. And the edema, so the deep vein thrombosis, what I've seen work really well with that is ozone therapy IV. Have you tried that or considered that?
No, it's not a deep vein thrombosis. That's why they did the sonar, so that to make sure it's not.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So it's major edema is what you're dealing with.
Yeah, like pitting edema.
Wow, interesting. Okay. So I know thyroid is connected to that, and also sodium potassium levels. It's always going to be a mineral dysregulation and a mineral imbalance. So how hard are you going on the root cause protocol?
I haven't been doing it that much. That I've stopped all the stops, you know. And I was slacking on my adrenal cocktails. So I don't know if it's that or I need to take more magnesium. I have no clue because it just started.
Okay, so what I would do is the first thing I would do is look for any traumatic events in your life or traumas, or even look within, like, if you're, let's say you're 50 years old, you would look back and you would start cutting your life in half. So you would see if there's any significant traumas at 25. And then you would look at any significant traumas at 12 and a half and see if there's any on your timeline to see if there's any significant traumas during those times. And if there are, and if you suspect there are, I would work with someone like Dr. Richard Massey, who the bulk of his work focuses just on that. And so that's a whole separate side of health and healing. The other thing that I would do is making sure that you're increasing your magnesium a lot more, because it impacts 3,700 enzymes and over 600 biological processes magnesium. And when you start understanding how minerals impact hormones, people want to start upstream and focus on hormones first without focusing on minerals and enzymes. And minerals run enzymes and enzymes run your hormones. And so hormones are just messengers. And so people focus on the messengers instead of focusing on the actual command center, which is going to be your minerals and your enzymes first. So I would focus on following that root cause protocol to a T and increasing your magnesium. Specifically, also the adrenal cocktail with the sodium potassium levels and the whole food vitamin C that's contained within that.
Is there anything I can take instead of the orange juice, because citrus fruits that don't sit well with me?
Yeah. Let's see. There is. You know what? If you go to Jigsaw Health or Jigsaw, what's the name of it? Jigsaw Health, I think. they actually sell a pre-made adrenal cocktail for you. And you can just buy the product itself as a powder, and it comes as a powder, and you could just, you know, add it to water and just do it that way instead of buying the orange juice but for those who don't know, the adrenal cocktail should be something that we all do. It's super easy. It's 4 ounces of orange juice, 4 ounces of coconut water, fresh squeezed orange juice if you can, pulp free if you can, but if you can't, don't worry about it. Just buy the store-bought stuff. 4 ounces OJ, 4 ounces coconut water, and 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt. And it's the simplest, easiest thing to do. And it regulates you. It does so many things for you. Regulates sodium, potassium levels, helps you increase absorption of magnesium, which is critical. So, how often?
Sorry.
The recommendation is usually at least 4 ounces a day, if not 8 ounces a day.
And now is this
all at once, or do it in the morning and then at night?
Typically, like what they recommend to do is to do it when your energy levels and hormones dip. So it's usually around 11 a.m. if you can, but we all have busy schedules. I just do it whenever I can, but 11 a.m. and then right after lunch, before dinner, where you get that other little dip of tiredness, that's when you want to insert the adrenal cocktail.
And Justin, is it weight dependent? Like, because I'm super underweight. So would I take less or not?
In your case, I would just start with the 4 ounces a day then, and then work your way up. It's actually a really good tasting drink, and it tastes good. But yeah, so Paul shared the link to the Jigsaw Health pre-made product.
You always have yours just alone or with a protein?
It depends. I mean, like, you can get really dogmatic with the stuff. Adam Bergstrom, who's on our show, always says that citrus fruits should be, not only should they be separated from each other, like a lemon and an orange, but you should eat them alone on an empty stomach. Some people report that to be the case. The Harvey Diamond and the Fit for Life crew would always say you separate citrus and eat it alone. You know what? As you increase your mineral absorption and the strength of your foundation of minerals, your ability to violate food combining laws increases. So I wouldn't worry too much. You know what I mean? Like, we're designed to be able to eat proteins and carbs and sugars in one meal, you know? So,
yeah.
But okay, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Keep me updated on that. Will you?
I will.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, guys. Well, I'll try to answer a couple more questions, and I don't know if Dr. Bergman is coming, so we'll just hang out for a bit. And so,
got Barbara, a couple hands up there, Justin.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you, Paul. Okay, so Barbara's up.
Hi,
hey, Barbara.
Just before I say anything else, I just would like to say that I've been doing the adrenal cocktail every day.
Nice.
I feel so much better. It's hard to explain. I feel more awake.
There's something about it. It's weird. It's so simple, yet so effective. It's
so quick and easy, and it tastes good. So, yeah, I'm really pleased with that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's a little bit weird to get used to at first because it's kind of like a sweet, salty flavor because you have that 1/4 teaspoon of salt in it, you know, cocktail per 8 ounces. And so it's a little bit salty, but I like it, actually. I do it when I work out. I feel great.
Yeah. What I wanted to ask you was, I'm not sure if it was you or Dr. Bergman suggested to me to take B vitamins. And I had actually got some a while ago, and I didn't take them because there's also vitamin D, 800 international units in it. And I was skeptical about whether I should take that. It seems like a rather small amount, but I thought I'd prefer to ask you before I take them.
You said there's vitamin D in the vitamin B supplement?
Yes.
Well, I've never seen that before. Wow, they added vitamin D to the vitamin B supplement. Okay. So there's going to be a lot of debate about the vitamin D thing. And on Fridays, we talk about it a lot. I do not recommend it only from sun. And so I don't recommend anyone take or consume vitamin D at all, just based on the research that I've done. And I've done quite a bit of research on it. And when you understand you know, the how the progression goes. If I were you, I would get on, there's a better vitamin, there's two vitamin B complexes that I typically recommend people. That's uh-huh. from Quantum Nutrition Labs, and it's called Max Stress B, and that's the one that I like. It's a liquid form. And the other one is from a company called Lifeblood, LifeBlud.co. And their one isn't called Energy, ENERGI. And those don't contain, those are just strictly B vitamins without any vitamin D. So I would stick to those.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know whether I stopped before, but I know that since I've been in Miami that I've never taken any vitamin D supplements at all because I don't need to because, you know, I can just go outside in the sunshine and I get what I need. But I wasn't sure whether this this 800 international units was large enough to make a difference and whether it would. You know, I didn't take it because I was skeptical, but I it seemed a shame that I already had it, that I just to throw it away.
Yeah, so. I hear you. I've done that before, though. I've thrown away many a supplement because later on I find out what's in it.
Yeah.
And so for me, when you see the synergy of how vitamins and minerals work together and in complex to each other, then you understand why you'd want to avoid certain things, you know? And so it's worth throwing away, you know, in my opinion. I'm not a fan of vitamin D. I love vitamin D when it's from nature. And like Dr. Cruz says, you can't supplement nature. And so if this is kind of new to anyone, just let me know and I can explain a little bit why, and talk about the progression and the synthesis of vitamin D. But, yeah, it's a complex subject. It's a secosteroid and it's not a vitamin because, you know, you make vitamin D inside your body and vitamins, it should be procured from the sun and not from a supplement. Typically when you take a vitamin D3 supplement, it's a fat soluble vitamin, but when you make it in the sun, it's water soluble. And that's the work of Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And so we're skipping a lot of steps of nature when we supplement vitamin D3 and like lumisterol, tacosterol, and a bunch of pre-vitamin D3 hormones that our body needs to make because they go down their own different pathways. And so, yeah. So anyway, long story short, I'm glad that you, you know, kind of had that red flag go up. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't been taking any, supplements for a while because, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it was enough to make me uncertain. I can't remember who or where I got the information from. But it said that if you take supplements, then it will interfere with the normal way that things work when you get your vitamin D from the sun. So that it would aid that process.
Yeah. So there's a whole process of how your body makes 70 hydrocholesterol when it's exposed to UVB sun. And there's a synthesis that happens that's magnesium dependent. And so there's a whole progression that goes all the way to a nuclear receptor called VDR. And that VDR receptor is responsible for turning on over 900 genes in your body. And the consumption of vitamin D3 shuts that down. So VDR does not work. And so the long and short of it is the receptors that we have on our cells for vitamin D also uptake vitamin A, and they could only take one or the other. So when you preload the body with vitamin D, you're shutting down a cell's ability to utilize vitamin A. And so by taking vitamin D, you lower vitamin A. And because all of the conversion steps from 70 hydrocholesterol to pre-vitamin D3, tacosterol, lumisterol, then vitamin D3, then 25 storage D, and then 125 active D, and then from 125 active D to VDR. All of those require magnesium at each step. And so it requires a lot of magnesium to do that. And I was just reading a paper a couple of weeks ago about that process. And so when you take vitamin D, you lower magnesium. And so it's, and you lower vitamin A. And when you do that, oxidation increases. So it's a whole, I could go on and on and on, but we've done a multiple radio shows about this. But suffice it to say, I'm not a fan of taking it. And I've never really talked to anyone who, I can say that anyone who's ever asked me who have had bone issues and have asked me what to do, and I ask them if they take vitamin D, they all say yes. Because it turns your bones to, it calcifies your bones. You see, a bone as a child, our bones are meant to be flexible, you know, like bamboo, like a palm tree. It blows in the wind, but it's strong, right? It's sturdy and flexible, but it's strong. That's what our bones are supposed to be like. And when we take vitamin D3, we calcify our tissues and our glands, and our bones become brittle and they snap like glass. And that's not what we want. So anyway, I could go on and on and on, but I won't. I'll spare you. So sorry about that. So Barbara, I'm glad. So yeah, let me know if those things work and if you need any extra help.
Yeah, thanks, Ren. I will.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Stephanie, I see your hand is up. How's it going?
Hi, I'm gone. It's due. Oh, God. Everything's okay. We went Friday to Sherry's treatment, and she got the IV oxygen, and she also got that electronic wristband. They put that on her while she was doing the ozone therapy.
Okay.
And she feels good.
And this was your mother-in-law, right?
My mother-in-law, yes.
Okay.
So we were real happy about that. They gave her a bunch of vitamins to take in addition to that. But we're going to go for every week for 2 days.
Okay.
And then they'll slowly increase it.
And this was in relation to, I think I remember,
lung cancer.
Oh, lung cancer. Right. Okay.
Small cell. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're real happy. We're real excited about that. And then I wanted to ask you, I bought this grass-fed beef liver, wholesome wellness is what I got from Amazon.
Okay.
Do you think it would have anything to do with having like really bad body aches when I wake up? Or do you think that's just from not getting up and getting out of the house?
I've never heard that. I don't know that would be true. I'm trying to think of the physiological mechanisms where that would occur. I don't think I've ever read anything about body aches and,
I mean, I remember I told you I had that problem with my chest, the feeling my lungs after I got back from Tahoe, but I just got this. And then all of a sudden I'm having like really bad, like stiffness in my body. Do you think,
with these types of things, you said it was a beef liver, right?
Right.
Okay. For some of the, I mean, that's a super highly concentrated food. And whenever you have these types of foods, they could trigger a response. It's like when someone takes magnesium, assuming they absorb most of it, since magnesium affects 42% of your enzymes, mm-hmm. it can do a lot of different things inside the body. And beef liver is the same way. It's a superfood. It could be, I know it's very high in retinol and it's very high in other minerals too. So it could be switching on certain things. But if that's the case, I would just start slow with it and increase your magnesium when you do that, because the muscle aches and muscle pains and muscle spasms, that's all typically a sodium potassium dysregulation and a magnesium deficiency. Okay. So I would just work on those with the adrenal cocktail and start increasing magnesium, and then just go a little bit slower with the beef liver and see what that does, you know?
Okay. Because they're telling me like 4 capsules a day. So 2 in the morning and 2 at night. And so I was trying to do that. And then I just felt like, oh my God. So yeah. I was thinking the same thing, that maybe it's getting my body moving or, you know, something was going on. So I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff happens, you know, it's just the way it is when you have super powerful foods like that, specifically with minerals and magnesium and things like that. I mean, someone could do, you know, I've heard of people doing like iron supplements and then just puking, you know, within 20, 30 minutes, you know, because when you put in such powerful substances and minerals into the body, your body can respond, you know, so that could be what's going on. I don't know the physiological mechanism of why, because typically beef liver is very high in retinol, which is a true vitamin A. And I know that helps with oxidation and copper regulation. So I don't know why that would occur, but there could be something else going on that your body's dealing with, you know?
Right. Okay. Cause it says 45 milligrams, 750 per capsule. So
yeah. Yeah. Right. So yeah, just start slow with it. Cause it is a superfood. It's incredibly powerful. So yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Hey Kelly, how's it going? Good to see you.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
So, magnesium.
Nice.
I found a product that claims to have, like, I don't know if you can see all the different kinds of magnesium. Okay. I'm not sure a body actually needs all those different kinds. In your research, have you figured out like the best form of magnesium for, you know, the anxiety, the, you know, mineral absorption?
best, you know? And the only natural forms of magnesium there are found in nature is bicarbonate, magnesium sulfate, and magnesium chloride. Those are the only three magnesiums that you find in nature. Everything else, like glycinate, malate, bisglycinate with two atoms attached, or threonate, all that stuff, that's all chelated to amino acids in a laboratory somewhere. And so that's not to say they're bad.
Three again, bicarbonate, chloride, and what was the third one?
Sulfate.
Sulfate. Okay.
So those are like the sulfate and the chloride are the kinds that you usually do transdermally, you know, like in a bath or something. Mm-hmm. Epsom salt is usually like either sulfate or chloride. So those would be the most absorbable. I find magnesium bicarbonate to be the most absorbable and the most powerful for me. Okay. And that you can make by, on your own. And so what I do is I usually do my magnesium protocol is 3 ounces of bicarbonate, a day. So 1 ounce at three different times of the day. And I drink 3 mason jars full of water. And I don't know why I didn't think about this, but I add, now I'm starting to add 1 ounce of magnesium bicarbonate to my mason jar full of water. And I never thought to do that because I don't know. It's just like, so that's even more diluted because you're sipping that throughout the day, you know?
What are you taking as bicarbonate? I mean, is that,
The bicarbonate is there. There's a recipe in the quick tips of, section of the site where you can get magnesium hydroxide powder, and you can buy it for like 10 or 20 bucks. A bag that will last you like 10 years. It's insanely cheap. And then you can buy that from Bulk Supplements or Lifeblood. LifeBlud.co has one, and Crucial 4 has one. And you buy a little bag of it and it'll last you for at least a year. And that's magnesium hydroxide powder. And then you buy a little soda stream from Amazon and that will cost you 80 bucks, but it's a one-time purchase. And then once you buy those two things, you're good. So you can make it for literally pennies, you know, pennies. And you, for me, I make it about once a week. I'd make a new batch of 32 ounces. And so that's my foundation. And then I do like, if I can do a magnesium bath, I do. I have magnesium spray. I'll try to remember to spray on my skin once or twice a day. And then the supplements I take are magnesium, glycinate, and malate with my meals. And so I'm getting multiple forms.
Yeah. But the hydroxide powder then is the bicarbonate.
That's just magnesium hydroxide. But then when you add the carbonation with the soda stream, the synergistic combination of the carbonation or the carbonic acid plus the magnesium hydroxide creates magnesium bicarbonate.
Okay. Okay. And so, and that's how you make it in the small 32 ounce batch.
Yeah. Week. And if you go to the quick tip section of the site, you should see a video on how to make it. And there's links to where to buy it. And you can make the, like, you can buy it pre-made as well. But for like 16 ounces, I think it's 20 or 25 bucks for 16 ounces when you can make it for like, you know, 50 cents, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you just got to pay 80 bucks for the soda stream. And then, but once you do that, you're done, you know, so.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that helps.
It does. Yeah, I've been struggling with which magnesium to use in addition to the spray and the Epsom salt. So
Here's another one that I'm reading The Magnesium Miracle right now by Dr. Carolyn Dean. And She was on a guest on our show maybe 7-8 years ago. And I love how it takes me 7 years to read a guest book, but I'm reading it now. And she has a product called Remag. You may want to take a look at that. I just bought some the other day. And it just arrived yesterday, so I haven't used it yet, but she claims that it's a form of magnesium chloride that is ionic, or I'm not sure how she describes it, but she says it's able to get inside the cell and not give you bowel issues as a result. And I've heard mixed reviews on that. Some people say, I just had someone write me this morning say they hated it. So We'll see.
Yeah, I think I've actually seen that before. I might have had that in years past. And I can't remember if it had a flavor to it. There was a reason I didn't stick with it. But yeah, okay. I ran across that once before too. So yeah, you'll have to let me know if you end up liking
it. Yeah, I'll probably be posting on that in the forums and on our Instagram. But women have a distinct advantage, you know, when it comes to this, because women are typically more into baths. So anytime you're doing a bath, just throw a bunch of magnesium in there, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good.
It's just finding the time, you know?
Oh man. I hear that. I hear that. Yeah. We have twins that are 4. And so I feel like there's no time, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's so many things we can do throughout the day, and you do them all a couple of days. And then the next couple of days you do something else. And then you're like, oh wait, I forgot to go back and do that. And,
oh man. I know that so well. I'm with you.
But you know, it's a lot of time dedicated to self-care. I mean, I know it's important, but it just figuring out the things that make a difference for you, each of us individually. Yeah. So
like one of the things that, you know, I started off doing all kinds of things, and I do, you know, I still do all kinds of things, you know, I do the shaga tea and the medicinal mushrooms and all this stuff, but no other supplement impacts 40 or 3,700 enzymes like magnesium. So getting on a magnesium protocol is of the absolute most important thing we can all do, because it's required for so many things, like detoxing heavy metals. People want to do a heavy metal cleanse, but if you don't have magnesium, you can't do that. If you go out in the sun, if let's say you switch off your magnesium, you can go out in the sun all day long and you'll never convert vitamin D3 in your body and to turn on those genes, because magnesium is required for that. It's required to convert T4 hormone to T3 in your liver. And people are like, oh, I got to focus on my thyroid health, not realizing if they don't have magnesium, they can't make that conversion. And so It's required for so many different, it's required to make energy, ATP in your mitochondria. Without that, you can't make energy. You're going to be on your bed all day. So it's like, health really is quite simple. When you understand there's only a few things that really matter, and that you can do a lot of other things too, and they all help, but they don't move the needle like magnesium does. Like medicinal mushrooms, great, but they don't move the needle like magnesium, you know? So I'm glad you're doing it.
What are the few things you would put up there with magnesium that are like, doesn't matter what your ailment is, you're never going to get better if you don't pay attention to a magnesium protocol?
So for me, it's a certain few things. One is, so from the perspective of things that you can consume, that would be minerals. And so minerals, so there's only like a few minerals that really matter. There's 90 plus, right? And there's all kinds of different ones for different things, but only a few matter. And the only ones that matter are iron, magnesium, copper, and vitamin A, retinol. That's just a vitamin. It's not a mineral. But so those three are if you can get the balance of those three, you're going to make such improvements on your health. In Carolyn Dean's book, she says there's the Merck manual has 30,000 names for diseases. 30,000 diseases. And We had Morley Robbins on the show the other day. So when you hear that you've got XYZ, you've got autoimmune disease, you have Lyme disease, you have rickets, you have cancer, you have heart disease, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. That label immediately disempowers you, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I've got this thing now, right? But what I like about Morley and his work is he says there is no disease. There's no disease. There's mineral, there's metabolic dysfunction based on mineral dysregulation. And that's it. And so when you realize that, that is like, okay, now I've got the power. So now I just got to figure out how to mitigate my metabolic dysfunction and solve my mineral dysregulation. And when you do that, it all, oh, dude, the Merck index, nice. Yeah. And when you balance your minerals, all the diseases go away. One mineral, magnesium, 3,700 enzymes, 600 different biological processes. So it's like if someone said, hey, I have a headache, magnesium. Hey, I've got, I've got accumulation of heavy metals, magnesium. And so it sounds like a broken record, but when you get into the weeds of how magnesium carries these processes out and what's required, it does start to sound like, wow, health really is quite simple. And so really all disease is oxidation. And we talk a lot about this on Fridays. Oxidation is the cause of all disease, whether it's heart disease, cancer, the top two diseases, autoimmune diseases, all are oxidation. And so when you solve oxidation, you solve all disease and all of your problems go away. Like if you have back problems, structural problems, whenever someone asks me about that kind of stuff, I'm not the expert when it comes to structural problems. Dr. Bergman's the master at that stuff, right? But essentially it comes down to a lack of energy is why you have a bulging disc. Because if your body had all the energy that it needs to have, it could solve any problem that it's presented with. So energy, focusing on mitochondrial energy and oxidation are the two places that you want to focus on. And so whenever you look at vitamins or supplements or lifestyles or living next to a Wi-Fi meter or living under blue light, you understand how that affects the metabolic process of making energy in your mitochondria. Then you understand, okay, this is why this is causing this problem. And so hopefully some of my research can help you guys connect those dots, whereas it took me 15 years to connect those dots. You know, I've been doing this since 2003. And I didn't start to come into this understanding until 2015 or so. So hopefully it.
I think we all have a moment, you know, yeah. Something life-changing that we go through that turns on all these light bulbs for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, broken records that we've been taught, the white coats, yeah. That's, you know, so we all have our own moment or our own life-changing exposure, poisoning, toxic, you know, that turn that on for us. So
mm-hmm. I agree.
It's awesome when people like you and Dr. Bergman, though, kind of help us pull it all together because, you know, like I said, there's so much disinformation out there and the marketing tools they use to sell these products are just amazing. Yeah. You know, like I knew better, but I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, all these different forms of magnesium has to be good for us, right?
Right. Well, there's also too, the thing that's challenging is that you have to dig into the weeds of the research. Cause when you look at like the most popular form of magnesium sold is magnesium citrate. That's because it's the cheapest form to make and you can add other constituents to it to make it really good tasting. So you put that little powder in your water and it fizzes up and it tastes like lemon and it just tastes like that raspberry lemon and it tastes awesome. But citrates cause ceruloplasmin to fold incorrectly. When ceruloplasmin is, and it turns off copper dependent enzymes inside ceruloplasmin, there are 6 to 8 copper enzymes inside there or copper atoms inside there. And it switches those off and it causes proteins to fold incorrectly. Citrates do. And so when you have a magnesium citrate, you're depleting your copper levels. So when you deplete your copper levels, then you have that copper is needed to mitigate the oxidation caused from iron overload. Inflammation is excess iron. Cancer, heart disease, it's all excess iron. So when you don't have enough copper to mitigate that, because ceruloplasmin is what carries copper from retinol, if the ceruloplasmin protein folds incorrectly and copper leaks out, then you have an excess increase in iron and oxidation. And magnesium is always required, the number one mineral to deal with inflammation. So that's going to lower your magnesium levels. So you take magnesium citrate and you lower your magnesium levels. It makes, I mean, this
horrible.
It's terrible, right? So, you know, and so unless you read the PubMed articles and the studies that, you know, I'm up at like 11 o'clock at night. If you look, if you follow my Instagram, you'll see the studies. I just posted a few last night, you know, reading this stuff. And it's like, it's just marketing, you know, like I posted a picture. We went to Sprouts yesterday and I posted a picture, zinc, vitamin D3, and ascorbic acid at the end cap, at the end caps, right by where you check out. All three destroy copper levels, lower vitamin A, increase your iron, and decrease magnesium, which is what's required to make energy. So it's, I don't know. I'm just fortunate to be able to have come across this information in the last 5 years, because I was just all over the place trying ozone, trying mushrooms and all this stuff, you know? So
finding out that magnesium was one of the keys. Do you do CMOS for magnesium?
No, I've heard about it for years and I know it's a great mineral source and I just have never tried it. No. But I bet it would be if it comes from the sea. And so I posted another picture, speaking of coming from the sea, I posted a picture of Mountain Valley spring water. I looked at the back and the total dissolved solids of that water is 225, which is just, it's calcified water. And then if you look at the calcium to magnesium ratios, it's completely the opposite. I need to do the math on it because in nature, like the seawater is three parts magnesium to one part calcium. And the optimal diet is supposed to be at least 3-1, if not 5-1 magnesium to calcium, but it's the opposite. So it's like 5-1 calcium to magnesium in our modern diet. And what happens as a result, we get heart disease, we have oxidation, we have all kinds of issues as a result of that. And so if it comes from the sea, like you were saying, it's probably going to be a good thing.
Yeah. So I get the dehydrated sea moss and then I boil it up and make a slurry of it and drink a little bit of that each day. Just a
nice
supplement. You know, it's kind of,
that's herbal, great. Yeah. So I don't want to go on forever. And I know Bob. Yeah.
I'll put my hand down. Somebody else's turn. Thank you.
Awesome. Great to connect with you, Kelly. What's up, Bob?
Oh, no, I had a question for Dr. B. I was going to mention it on Friday, and then we started talking about other things. So my question is this. I'm getting to about that point where, I don't know, my wife is pregnant right now, which I'm happy about.
No way, dude.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
And we said we tried to do this before I turned 40.
Nice.
You know, this is our second kid, and I think we're pretty much done after this. So my question is, and I'm kind of thinking, and I'm asking for a friend. Just kidding.
Yeah.
A lot of my coworkers have had vasectomies, and I want to know the cons about it. You know, you hear about the good parts about it, but what are some of the issues? What are some of the complications? You know, do you lower testosterone? Do you lose libido? Do you you know, there's a ton of unknowns there. I don't know if you've explored it, but if you do, I'm all ears because I have. Yeah, I mean, we're going to wait till after the baby's born, of course, but you know, just want to have some other options there.
I know that the Chinese medicine doctors have a lot to say. There's a guy by the name of Mantak Chia. Are you familiar with him?
Nope.
M-A-N-T-A-K, I think, Mantak Chia. You can search him. He's written like tons of books and you can find him on Amazon. And I know he's covered this subject. It's my understanding that there are ramifications to any sort of surgical procedure that one undergoes. And I looked into this years ago, but I forget the exact, I mean, I know that going through a procedure like that, anytime you cut the body, you have or put metal inside the body and give anesthesia, there's going to be real issues with that. And so you have to mitigate that and, you know, schedule the surgery at you know, the time of the waning moon, you know, because, you know, with parasites and stuff like that, you want to time your surgery correctly and do the protocols to cleanse afterwards. But I would look into the work of Mantak Chia, and he's written extensively on that, and I forget what he says, but I don't know. My first thought is to avoid those.
Right. Well, I can tell you by sleeping with a man that had a vasectomy, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. Just there was no problem with erection. So mm-hmm. that's okay.
Okay.
There's just a lot more ejaculation from it.
More?
Like, yeah, more like more. I don't know. It was weird. Like more wasn't thick.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Because it is going to be, yeah, it's going to be basically cutting off that from coming out, from being excreted. So that makes sense.
Right. So yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know if that was helpful or not.
No, no. Oh, Paul. Okay. Montauk Chia, dude. Great. Paul shared a link to his books. Great.
Well, his spelling's a lot better than mine because I was trying to spell on my phone. But you know, I just want to get some more information. I want to be informed about it, you know. And I mean, I know there's some drawbacks, like if women have hysterectomies, they're gonna, you know, typically are put on hormone replacement and there's things like that. And then when we talk about, you know, testosterone, I think Dr. B said 90% is produced in the testes or maybe 10%. I it's one of those two ratios. I don't remember which is which. So, you know, I want to know what potential detrimental effects there might be before going into something like that.
Well, you're smart. And that's what we should all be doing is researching before right. we have any kind of procedure. So, mm-hmm. yeah, look up Montauk Chia. Paul shared an awesome link to his. I didn't even know he had a direct website like that. But yeah, I know that he's got a lot of books on sexuality from a Chinese medicine perspective. And so he would be probably one of the best resources.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, even in animals, like, you know, they used to say like spay and neuter your puppies when they were like 6 months old or, you know, really young. And, you know, your holistic vets are telling you, no, wait till they're done growing. You know, they need those hormones to grow. And I think there's some vets that are even doing just partial, you know, like just a hyster or a vasectomy versus the whole removal of all their organs. So I don't know if men's health has come any farther too, to say, oh, we don't need to do this whole procedure. We can just, you know, tie off one part or something to reduce the fact that you're going to lose hormones.
Well, you know, you mentioned vets, and I remember about 2 years ago, before all this COVID nonsense started, I was listening to Del Bigtree interview a vet that was talking about vaccines and pets and all that stuff. But he had mentioned on there that pets that have, that are spayed and neutered tend to live shorter lifespans than those who aren't. And I'd forgotten about that until you just mentioned the vet thing, the vet aspect. I don't know if that correlates with humans or not, but I mean, it's
But I'd look into it. Yeah.
I don't know that. I can't tell. I have two male cats. They're both neutered, and so we'll see.
Yeah,
they're 7 and 8 years old. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. So,
but it could do with the timing, like Kelly was saying. You know, right. if you haven't done it, you know, 12 weeks versus a year.
Right.
So
right.
That might make all the difference.
I mean, we've just taken the perspective that, you know, like with our male dogs, we don't neuter them until or unless it becomes medically necessary, simply because, you know, they were born with these hormones and they need their hormones, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a personal decision for everybody, but they are making the flip. And so, you know, to what you were thinking or saying, you know, they are making that switch in the animal kingdom. So maybe there is some correlation to, you know, there's a reason to wait until it becomes medically necessary. Sometimes if you're having prostate issues, they do recommend vasectomies. So.
Yeah. And there's also too, the energetic component that Western medicine just completely denies about this. And that is that our organs carry traumas, you know, and each organ is connected to another organ energetically through the Chinese system. And so when you start messing around and just taking organs out of the body or tying up things, whether it's a hysterectomy or any kind of surgery at all for anything, we weren't designed for that. And so there's going to be consequences. And so going into that research with that in mind, I think will probably help you, make a determination on that, you know.
Right. Because, you know, for cats, male cats will start spraying your whole house. Mm-hmm. I've been in when I was younger, my mother didn't do any of that. And the cat just like ruin my clothes. I mean, it would just spray. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why for the males, it's more important. The females, I don't think that it's a good thing, but, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, Montauk Cheetos would be a great resource for you.
Okay.
For sure.
I'll look that up. And yeah. Thanks for all the magnesium tips, too. I need to revisit that more as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ordering a soda stream today with me, right?
Yeah, there you go.
$80, well spent.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Because like if you buy the 16-ounce bottles, like I said, they're $20-$25 each, and you'll go through them in a couple of weeks. And then you're just paying so much money for magnesium bicarbonate that you can make for pennies at home. It, you know, makes the most sense to just do that.
I think my nieces used to have one of those, and I'm like, I didn't know it actually had a good benefit.
And you know what's cool too is that Dr. Pete, if you get into his work, Dr. Ray Pete, he talks about the benefits of just drinking carbonated water. Mm-hmm. And so just doing that, you can make your own sodas, you know, like
count.
If you guys, nice. There you go, Coca-Cola. But there's
hey, at least it's out of glass.
Exactly, right? In fact, Dr. Pete, he recommends Mexican Coke.
Really?
So, so it gets into a whole world, but there's a product, Bob, you may want to look at, because I know you want to get off that.
I do. And I did really well for 2 months. And then I went to the drag races. I'm the only one that doesn't drink alcohol. So they had soda there. So I've been on it for the last 3 weeks. So
try going to a place, it's called Jing Soda, J-I-N-G. Jing Soda. And if you type it into Google, it's a concentrate. So if you buy it a soda stream, you can add carbonation to your water, right? And then it's a little concentrate that they make in different flavors. Like one is a regular Coke flavor, one's root beer. I think they have a lemon one where you can make your own basic like Coke or Pepsi at home, but it's all made with medicinal herbs. So it's pretty cool. It's a little concentrate. And if you get the soda stream, you can make, like if you have kids, this would be a great, great option, you know? So yeah,
does check that out. Does the Mexican soda leave out the high fructose corn syrup then?
What's that?
Does the Mexican soda leave out the corn syrup and all that then?
Yeah. It leaves out the high fructose corn syrup and it's. So, I mean,
well, that's a huge health benefit right there. Just leaving that out.
The pro metabolic community is really into sugar and how glucose is the primary fuel of the cell, which it is. So Dr. P, he does recommend Mexican, which is crazy.
This week I just kind of said, all right, if I'm going to do this vice, I'm going to get away from the can that has the plastic liner on the inside of it. And I'm going to get away from the fructose. So I still need to get off of it. I just had one in my car and I had a burrito this morning with the crew. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to finish this off.
Well, you know what though, too, there's so many things that you could do that would help like mitigate the damage of drinking a soda like that. Like, you know, you could take digestive enzymes and supplements. Like that doesn't require any extra effort or like discipline or anything. You know, like we've talked about it before, blocking blue light and getting away from smart meters and these types of things. Like doing those types of things and still, like, I'd rather have someone do those things and drink a Coke and eat a regular standard American diet than eat the perfect diet, but then they live next to a smart meter. You know, I'd rather have the former rather than the latter, because that stuff really affects your body more than the food does. So, you know, you can take your supplements, your digestive enzymes, you know, you could do a little bit of extra workout to work off some of that sugar, you know. And so there's things you can do to mitigate drinking a Coke, you know, it's not that big a deal. So, although not ideal, but things you can do that I think would help. So
what was the name of those flavors?
Oh, the Jing soda.
Yeah.
I think they have a regular like Pepsi flavor kind of one. And then they have,
How do you spell the name?
J-I-N-G. I'll put a link to a chat room. I'll just search it. It's Jing, J-I-N-G soda. Now I've never tried it, so I can't advocate it. But I've heard really good things about it. Here, I'll put a link in the chat room. You can take a look at it. There it is. So for anyone that has kids, then they could just get some of this. Get a soda stream and get Jing soda and then give your kids like soda, you know? So it's a good option. Okay, so Marion, I think you are next.
I guess I'm next. Yep. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. It's my first time ever on here.
Oh, cool.
And I discovered you, I think about a month or two, and I've been hooked on you. I've been listening to you every single day on, I've got my phone beside me listening to the Extreme Radio.
Oh, wow.
Extreme Health Radio. So I'm just learning and soaking everything up as much as I can.
That's great.
I had a lot of aches and pains, like really debilitating pain. So one of the things I stopped doing is I got right off of the vitamin D. I was taking a lot of vitamin D. So I'm noticing a difference. I don't know if it's coincidence, but feeling a lot better, not so achy and sore.
Oh, that's awesome.
When you're talking about the magnesium depletion, I mean, that could be related. I don't know. So one of my questions, it's not so much for me, but it's for my dad is 94 years old. And I know there's probably no quick and easy answer to this, but he has lymphedema in his legs. So I'm kind of researching. I've gone already on your site just to see. I know there's a few things on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's just a few things you might recommend for that. He hasn't had cancer or anything. So it's not related to cancer.
Okay. So what I would do is lymphedema. So it depends. Is he open-minded? Is he willing to try things?
They're very open-minded. Okay. Yeah, they're super into alternative remedies. He's doing kind of energy healing. He's done acupuncture. He does chiropractic.
Oh, great. Okay.
Kind of doing it all, but he's still really struggling with it. So yeah.
I would search your area for a lymphatic drainage massage person, someone who does lymphatic drainage.
Okay.
And you can do specific massages just to drain your lymph system.
Okay.
So I would do that. If he's able to jump up and down on a rebounder, I would do that because you have more lymphatic system fluid in your body than you do blood.
Okay.
And so it's really important to get the energies moving in the body. Mm-hmm. So I would, if he can, like a lot of rebounders, they'll come with little handrails so that you can balance yourself. And he doesn't even have to leave the mat. He can just do like a little soft bounce. And right. That up and down motion is going to open and close the one-way valves that you have in your lymph system. And the only way those open and close is through manual stimulation. The other thing I would do for that is skin brushing. Like he may not be able to rebound, but he can definitely skin brush.
Yeah.
So I would have him do that. Those are sort of manual stimulations that he can do.
So would you do that on like right on his legs? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you go like towards the heart? Is it like up?
Yeah. Up so typically what's recommended is starting at your feet and working your way up towards the heart.
Okay.
And getting that manual stimulation going. And then the other piece of that, if he's doing chiropractic, that's going to stimulate his nervous system to help repair this as well. Acupuncture could be something that he could try as well, but mineral dysregulation is going to be key for him here too. So increasing the magnesium and to absorb the magnesium better, I'm guessing if he's in his 90s, he's going to have a more difficult time absorbing.
Yeah.
So vitamin B6 will help magnesium get inside the cell.
Okay.
And then boron will help keep it there inside the cell as well. So doing those two vitamins with the magnesium combined with the adrenal cocktail, balancing the sodium potassium levels,
okay,
will help with that magnesium absorption to activate the enzymes to stimulate his nervous system to be able to get that flow going again.
If he's taking vitamin D, because I was there yesterday and I kind of mentioned vitamin D, and of course they jumped on me like, no, we're not giving up our vitamin D.
Yeah.
Is that an issue, you think? Or maybe I can get them to reduce it, or.
You know what I would do? It's challenging because, you know, you have these like things, no vitamin D or no fish oil, right?
Yeah.
But then you have these situations in life that always present themselves and you have to like kind of calibrate idealism versus practicality. So for someone who's 90 years old, I don't know. I mean, like what I would recommend is him getting vitamin D from his food.
Okay.
You know, from food, like mushrooms and, you know, there's foods that contain high amounts of vitamin D, like the cod liver oil. That's what I would do. I would do the cod liver oil because that contains vitamin D in it.
Okay.
versus getting it from a synthetic supplement. At least the cod liver oil is a whole food form. It's not a synthetic supplement. Okay. And so that's what I would convince him of that, because when someone hits in their 90s, like it's almost like we need to say, what did you do? Right. Mm-hmm. Well, like we need to sit at their feet and say, okay, I'm 50 or I'm 30. Like, how do I make it to 90 kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, just taking
when you're around him, approach. Sing "You Are My Sunshine."
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. He was quite frustrated yesterday. He was kind of almost in tears because he's used to being healthy and he's not on any kind of medication, but his legs are just kind of giving up on him. Mm-hmm. So, and he's having problems with balance and he'll fall easily. So he just gets super frustrated. So I told him to just really thank his body for supporting him. You're 94. I said, it's amazing. And be kind to yourself and tell your body, you know, how much you appreciate it and love it.
So here's some things that, you know, you have all kinds of people that say, you know, this is good, this is bad. I follow keto. I follow the pro-metabolic, pro-sugar diet. I follow the fasting and all this stuff. And you have all these contentious things, but there are some things that work across the board, no matter what your diet is. And so for him, I would recommend doing the magnesium, the adrenal cocktail. If you can get him outside, connected to the earth as often as you can, that would support his health. Yeah. Any kind of strength training, whenever you get older in that way, you really want to focus on balance and you want to focus on the strength of your legs, mm-hmm. because the majority of the reason, like when people fall, for example, when they're older, they don't fall because their lack of balance, their hip breaks and then they fall.
Yeah.
Like typically that's what happens. And that's because they're typically taking vitamin D or mm-hmm. they're taking lots of calcium supplements and their bones are becoming glass. Mm-hmm. And then their hip fractures and then they fall. So falling and balance and the strength of your legs as we age is really important. So if you can get him doing any kind of exercise, if you can get him to be outside without sunglasses on, without shoes on, mm-hmm. the more connected to nature, the healthier he's going to be.
Okay.
And so these are all things that are like, you know, you can buy coconut water and sea salt, and you can buy the orange juice for super cheap at the grocery store, and you can make the magnesium cocktail or their adrenal cocktail. They don't cost a lot of money, these things, you know, except for maybe a rebounder or something, you know, but
yeah, he has actually a rebounder. So, now what if you were just to sit on it, just to start like, and moving like up and down, would that be effective?
It would, because walking stimulates your lymphatic system too. But the problem with walking is your joints, you know, and running is really great for your lymphatic system. Yeah. But again, it's a stress on the joints, and that's why the rebounding is so good. And it doesn't take much. Like when you go to a cancer clinic, rebounders are always a part of their clinics and they don't even have your feet leave the mat because they don't need to. It's a soft stimulation that opens the lymphatic one-way valves that you have. So
Will regular trampoline work as well?
It would. Yeah.
Okay. I got one of those.
Yeah, jump rope would work too if you want to jump rope on the grass or something, you know, to save your joints. But it's a burden on the joints is what the trampoline fixes, you know.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, and get him on the magnesium, multiple forms of magnesium too.
I will definitely do that.
Because if he's taking vitamin D, he's going to be lowered in magnesium.
Exactly.
And he's going to be lowered in vitamin A as well. So that's important.
One of the things that was recommended when I looked up on your academy is thermography. Is that something that would benefit him, like a thermography test?
I mean, it's probably a good thing. I would recommend it way over, typically people do thermographies for, in place of mammograms kind of a thing, or they'll do it preventatively.
Right.
But I'm not really a fan of like going and looking for something that's wrong, you know, because I'm a fan of like stimulating your mind and not getting into that negative mind trap where something's always wrong with me kind of thing.
Right.
And so if you're thinking for him, if he's 95, I would just, you know, at this point, just support him in whatever he wants to do. Just love him and enjoy his company. And, you know, there's no sense in debating him about vitamin D and stuff.
No, just, I know.
You know, I know you know that, but it's sometimes we get too dogmatic with things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. Okay. That's great. I really appreciate all the advice. It sounds great.
That's awesome. And when you talk to him to find out some of the things he's done and share them with me, you know, share them with us.
I will for sure. Okay.
Yeah. Could that's great.
Does he eat large portions of protein? Because I was told a year and a half ago, or I can't remember how long ago it was, by a natural doctor that the reason I had edema in my ankles was to do with my kidneys, and that if I were to eat less protein, that would help. And I did that, and I've had no more edema since then.
So are you eating then, let's say, when you say less protein, you were eating a lot of meat before?
I didn't think I was eating a lot. I was eating a lot of dairy. So
okay.
Cut down on protein in general. Just to have that.
And it helped. I'll check with him. I know he doesn't have a huge appetite, but I think he's just eating kind of normal, a bit of meat, cheese. But not, I don't think he's overdoing it. So I really don't know. It's kind of baffling what's causing the lymphedema. I don't know. But I'll,
You know what too, when you mentioned Barbara, the kidneys, vitamin D, affects your kidneys. And so that is going to be tied to the, edema as well. So
yeah, because he does have issues with the kidneys, because he mentions that he has to go to the bathroom throughout the night, like many, many times. So there are kidney issues going on. So I think if he could cut back the vitamin D and probably protein would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would try that and try all those things too, like the massage and the you know, all
massage, I think, is key. Yeah.
Well, and I've also seen if you can't like do the rebounder, like, you know, you can stimulate your lymph system, you know, this way.
Yeah.
You know, if he can't do a massage for himself, you can still stimulate, you know, the different areas where you have lymph, tap on your pelvis, tap between your knees, you know, you're still stimulating it a little bit, you know, so any amount that he can do at his age will help.
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's great. Okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You should bring him with you to join you next time.
I should. I will do that.
Let us all meet him.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, tell him to tell us the secret, you know? That's
I know. Exactly.
Because we have a lot of things that we, you know, theoretically read studies and experiment, but he's the one that's done it. So that's
exactly. Exactly. That's
What area of the country has he lived in most of his life?
So my dad was born and raised in Indonesia.
Oh, wow.
Our background is we're Dutch. So, you know, if you know the background a little bit, Indonesia was a Dutch colony. Mm-hmm. So my dad was born there and he was actually in an internment camp for 5 years. So that was pretty rough. And then he did, after the war ended, he went back to Holland and he was only there for about a year or so. And then he immigrated to Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, keep us updated on his progress.
I will, for sure. I really appreciate all the support, and this is an amazing group. And yeah, I look forward to being back on here.
Thank of course. So yeah. So just so for those that I'm sure most of you guys know, Dr. Bergman is here on the third last week. So last month he was traveling. So I think he went to the Philippines or maybe Indonesia on the third Sunday of last month. And so we scheduled it for the fourth Sunday of February. And then, so typically he's the third Sunday of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific. And then I'm live every Friday morning from 9 to 10. I usually go a little bit longer, but I'm live every Friday morning. And then he's live on the third Sunday of every month. So that you can look forward to that as well.
I thought maybe he was off today from the like time change, but we've exceeded an hour and he's not here. So.
I know you guys were joking around. Maybe it was a time change. Who knows?
Yeah. And are your twins unsupervised now?
Well, my wife's watching them and I'm sure she's wanting me to come help her. So, but, yeah, it, I could probably hang out for a few more minutes if you guys have any other questions or anything that I might be able to help out with.
I'm sure that the fact that your father doesn't take any medication goes a long way to him reaching that age.
It does. It does. It's amazing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Does he have all his body parts?
Pardon me?
Does he still have like all his body parts? He's never had like any surgeries to remove anything or
No, he's never had any surgery at all. No.
Nice.
No.
Yeah. See what happens when you avoid the medical establishment? Isn't that great?
Yeah, I don't recall my father ever going to a hospital. Yeah, and my dad is remarried because my mom passed away early from Alzheimer's. But as soon as he has any ailment, his wife immediately like looks up a remedy and how she can support it. So
that's awesome. Yeah,
she's really keeping him going for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, it's sort of like what Dr. Bergman talks about, and we mention a lot on our radio show, is supporting the body and what it wants to do, you know? And so when he talks about Dr. Bergman, you know, putting a hot compress on some area that's inflamed, you're working with the body, you know? And so working with the body to help increase the inflammation sounds counterintuitive and it sounds opposite, but typically everything is upside down in our modern culture, and everything that's true is false and false is true. And so the medical establishment will tell you, you have an injury or something, you're supposed to ice it. But when in reality, adding a hot compress to somewhere is going to bring stimulation and blood flow and oxygen and carbon dioxide and all those elements to an injured area. And that's why he talks about that a lot. And, you know, it makes sense. It really does make sense. And I was just listening to someone recently on a different radio show talking about why with sports athletes do we put them in cold tubs after games and we soak and ice their joints and things. And this person was making the case that we're doing everything opposite and wrong and upside down. We should be doing the opposite of that. And it just makes you question really everything about our, you know, procedures and what we do and what we think is helpful and healing and stuff. So
Here's a book of 10,000 pages of chemical compounds to avoid. Not 10,000 chemical compounds, 10,000 pages of chemical compounds to avoid.
You know what, Bobby? Dr. Massey was on our show years ago, and he talked about in the Merck manual, like one of the first editions, like in the late 1800s, the four go-to substances for healing was like cannabis, alcohol, turpentine, and cocaine, I think. It was like crazy what was recommended. And when you start looking at that, like, wow, maybe they weren't all all that far off. But, you know, the further you look into these things, you know,
yeah,
it's crazy. Okay, Leanne, I think I see your hand up. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we are. Perfect.
All right, great. Okay, I have a question for you. And I tried to ask Friday, but I just couldn't get through. My question is, I told you last week, I think it was, that I was going to try to go get my, do a blood donation this past week. Well, I went and they wouldn't do it because they said that the last time they took my blood, it was, my ferritin was too low.
Okay.
So first, before we'll do that, we want to check your ferritin. So they did that. They did a whole bunch of blood work and junk. And then they said, oh, we're not comfortable with that. This is at my functional doctor. We're not comfortable with that because your ferritin's too low. And it had come up from last time. And I thought, my hemoglobin is 14 and a half. If I was willing to go through Red Cross, they would easily take my blood with a, you know, with your hemoglobin being 14 and a half. So mm-hmm. I don't know what else to do because they're uncomfortable with doing it with my ferritin at 68, I think it is, but.
So when you're, so they're saying your ferritin was too low.
Yes.
Okay. So the ferritin, when you start diving into iron research and ferritin levels, you realize that they're testing empty shotgun shells.
Right.
So your ferritin, if it's low in the blood, it means it's going to be high in your tissues, but the doctors mm-hmm. don't know this. Right. The doctors are looking in the wrong place and they're looking in the serum and they're looking at levels that don't matter at all. And so they unfortunately have no idea what they're doing, and they just going off of old studies and that kind of thing. So the question is, how do you raise your ferritin so that you can donate blood? And for a lot of people that may be new to this information, really quickly on the reason why you should donate blood is because A, people who donate blood have less disease and they live longer. And B, what the blood donation does is it reduces, it's the only way to reduce excess iron in your body. And iron, when we breathe air, it's an oxidant and it causes oxidation. And since 1941, and again, they doubled it in 1969, adding iron filings into our food system. And that ferrous iron is incredibly damaging and it cannot be metabolized. And it's causing inflammation, sore joints. It's causing cataracts. It's every major disease is caused by excess iron, and they're adding it to our foods. And the only way to get rid of that iron is through blood donation. So that was just a little tidbit for people that were wondering, why would I want to donate blood? And so what you'd want to do is you'd want to increase your retinol status in your body. And the way you do that is you increase, you could take, if I were you in your case, I would get on some of that Rosita's cod liver oil. That's got 3,200 milligrams of retinol. And I bet you anything, if you start doing that with beef liver and you increase your copper as well, then you will be able to go back and, your ferritin levels will normalize and they'll let you donate blood.
Yeah. I haven't done the Rosita's, just because I've been leery of the lipofuscin issue, but, exactly. I'm following the RCP protocol. Other than that, the liver, everything, but maybe that's something that I need to do at least temporarily. Cause I mean, I am an iron overload mess, and everything that can cause health wise, it is. And I just feel like if I could just do a blood donation, I could get on top of this and start to really make headway. But
it's funny because, like, it's a circular situation, right? You want to donate blood to get rid of your iron, and by donating more blood, you'll kickstart the iron recycling system, which will activate the ferroportin and ferrooxidase enzymes to be able to regulate your ferritin levels. But you can't do that because they won't let you donate blood because your levels are low, which is why you're there in the first place. Unfortunately, they don't know any of that, you know, as you know. So what I would do is I would Google a company called Fleetbow, 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 and they're a mobile, or you could Google search mobile phlebotomist and then your zip code, and they'll do a blood donation for you and they'll just discard your blood. If you can't get that to work, I would definitely do the Red Cross option. But while you're doing those things, I would increase your beef liver and your retinol status, your copper and your magnesium. And if you do that for a couple weeks, I guarantee you that you'll be back to a level to where you're at least eligible to donate, which will then lower your oxidation and regulate those numbers.
Okay. That's what I'll do. That was my gut instinct anyway. And I spent all evening last night watching YouTube videos of Morley and on the Health Academy, watching other interviews with him and reading some of his articles. And so, and I read the ferritin one and it was a really good one. I thought I need to print this out and take it to my doctor, but
they just won't listen. It's just like, it's like going to a doctor and saying, "Hey, can I do the Hoxie formula for my cancer? I don't know what's Hoxie." You know, they don't even know. It's like another language. Exactly. They have no idea. So just taking some of this on for yourself would be ideal. I think doing the cod liver oil, make sure it's not the fermented, you know, and I'm with you. I don't recommend cod liver oil because I'm still in research about this, but because of the high amounts of polyunsaturated fatty acids, I realize there's a high amount of retinol, but for your acute situation of just being able to get your numbers up enough so that you can donate might be something to consider. But if you're going to do the retinol, or if you're going to do the cod liver oil that does contain those PUFAs, make sure you're taking vitamin E as well.
Uh-huh. And I do, yes.
Okay, good, good. Because like I would never take cod liver oil without vitamin E ever. Because the damaging effects of the polyunsaturated fatty acids has to be mitigated in some way. Otherwise, it's going to accumulate in your tissues as lipofuscinosis, yellow fat disease,
right,
and that kind of thing. So,
how often do you recommend donating?
Well, morally recommend. So the Red Cross says you can donate every 56 days, but morally recommends for premenopausal women to donate twice a year and for men to donate four times a year. And then postmenopausal women to donate four times a year as well. So I donate four times a year and today is the first day of spring. So I usually donate right around this change of the season. So every 3 months. So this is, that way when the season changes, I know I need to donate. It's kind of a reminder for me. So the other benefit of donating blood too, is that you have this iron recycling system. And as Morley mentions, we only need about 1 milligram of iron coming in per day. The other 24 milligrams is supposed to be recycled. And it goes through all of these processes impacted by ferrooxidase, ferroportin, all kinds of iron-based enzymes that open and close the doors that allows the iron to get eventually back to the bone marrow to make new red blood cells. The problem is that the iron gets stuck. So like, for example, here's a really simple way of thinking. Your cell has a doorway and it's to release iron from the cell. And that doorway is called ferroportin. And if you don't have enough copper, that doorway cannot open. The iron gets stuck inside the cell. And when that happens, it accumulates and it combines with estrogen, with heavy metals, with polyunsaturated fatty acids. And it creates what they call lipofuscin or yellow fat disease. Fortunately, in your cell, you have these organelles called the lysosomes, which is basically like the trash can of the cell. And so what happens is that this lipofuscin gets stored in the lysosome of the cell. But then once that becomes gummed up, it's like all of the trash in your house accumulating and accumulating. And eventually things aren't going to work properly because the accumulation of excess iron and all of these substances, heavy metals, estrogens, and polyunsaturated fatty acids. So when you donate blood, you kickstart the activation of these enzymes to get that whole process working again so that there's a cycle and your body is moving because, you know, life is movement, right? And whenever you have something stuck, that's not good. That means death. That means calcification, right? So that's the other benefit of donating blood is it activates the reticuloendothelial system, which is basically the iron recycling system to get that going. So...
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Of note, reinforcing your point, Morley Robbins writes in his work that from the middle 1800s until about 1972, they used to measure the blood serum, the hemoglobin, I mean, and now they measure blood serum in the ferritin levels. But he said they should not be high because ferritin belongs in the cells. And when it is ferritin is out in the blood, it's only when there's rising inflammation in the tissues and a patient's health is already in serious jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a noted iron biologist, I forget what his name was, that Morley references quite often. And he says the optimal ferritin should be zero, which is...
Yeah, she should let her doctor know that ferritin should not be high.
Yeah, it's funny because... Like these doctors just are out to lunch about everything. And so it's like, for me, I've been in many a consultation with a doctor because my mom had cancer and I would explain to the doctor different things and they would just either argue with you or they would try to belittle you or it's just amazing. And so I've just given up trying to convince doctors of anything, but for you guys, if there's one book to read, this is the book to read. If you want to learn more about this, it's called, and Paul's reading it right now. And
that's where I obtained the information.
Yep. It's called Cure Your Fatigue and it's on Amazon and it's Morley Robbins. Just type that in. If you want to get a foundational understanding of the metabolic processes of how to make ATP and clear the exhaust, aka oxidative stress, and mineral dysregulation. Morley, I don't think there's anyone on earth that understands minerals to the extent that Morley does in terms of connecting dots. He's just a genius.
And you wouldn't believe the amount of connection it has with general health, like SIBO and celiac disease and the rest of the stuff. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wild because you think to yourself, oh, it can't be that simple. But really, the subtitle of the book is how balancing three minerals and one protein is the solution you're looking for. So since I've had Morley on our show like 15 different times, and I'm friends with him, and he sends me articles all the time. And so basically what he's talking about is balancing these three minerals is copper, magnesium, and let's see. So it'd be retinol, copper, magnesium, and iron. Yeah, of course, iron. So those are the three that he's talking about. And so when you understand how they affect your ability to make energy, every disease is impacted by the synergistic relationship between those three minerals, every disease on planet Earth. So it's quite profound.
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, no problem. I hope I was able to share some things here with you guys today. I think we'll wrap it up because I think my wife is going to be...
If you're in good enough with Dr. Bergman, drop him a text and ask him what happened.
Well, Kay texted him. Typically, we always text him. And she texted him last night and then again this morning, and we got no response. And usually that's not like him. So
maybe he's enhancing his vitamin D levels on the boat.
I know. That's what I'm hoping, at least, right?
I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I was going to ask him. I wanted to connect with him to ask him about his son because his son is in Poland right now, and his son lives there. His wife is Polish, Michael Bergman, and I was hoping he's okay with everything going on over there right now. Does anyone know, does Poland border Russia or does it border Ukraine?
It easily borders Ukraine.
Oh, whoops.
You're frozen. Are you still there?
Are you still there, Justin?
He froze.
Yeah, looks like he's frozen. He'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, isn't Poland on the opposite side of Ukraine, like further away from Russia? Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
All right. Yes. There we go.
Hopefully all is well.
Okay, there we are.
Yeah, it's on the other side of Ukraine.
Justin, can I have the book title again of the last one you were talking about?
Sure. It's called Cure Your Fatigue. And it's by Morley Robbins. And this, if there's one book to read to understand and get the concept of the foundation of your health, it's this book.
I love the copper chemical reference there. That's pretty ingenious.
I know. Isn't that great? And the reason why he said it's purple is because ceruloplasmin is a purple protein. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's a good book. And if you're only going to read one book, read this one. Well worth it.
And it's by the famous Morley Robbins.
Yep. And it's like $10 on Amazon or $20, whatever it is. And it will blow your mind. It will make sense of everything. It will make sense of everything.
So we didn't hear what you were saying. You froze for a while on Bergman's son is in Poland. And what happened?
Oh, yeah. So he's living in Poland. His wife is Polish and he's been there for a couple of years. But now I was just going to ask Dr. Bergman if he's okay, because I don't know what's going on. Poland borders
Ukraine.
So I hope he's okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we'll see Dr. Bergman soon. So we'll ask him about his son and hopefully everything's okay with Dr. Bergman too. All right. Is there anything else that you guys have any questions or anything pressing that you want to ask?
Thank you for your time.
Oh, of course.
Thank you very much for you all the time, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I want to help. So yeah.
It was really nice.
Oh, good. Good. Hopefully I shared some ideas. If you got anything from this, just read that book, Cure Your Fatigue. And also under the workshop section, we have a 2 or 3 hour workshop with Morley for the Academy too. So go check that out as well. And that will make sense of everything I was talking about. All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up and say a prayer for me that my wife is not too upset with me when I go back. But
Kelly, I'll see, you have to stand in for the doc.
I know. Right. But I'll see you guys on Friday morning and be well, have a great weekend. And I'll see you guys then.
God bless. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Ciao.